So, Rick.
Are we recording already?
Yes.
You haven't done any tests? You did the tests before the game?
Yes.
Wow.
Very efficient.
Efficiency. It's almost like we know what we're doing. But you.
Yeah. What are we doing on this beautiful day, on the first sunny day in 6 months?
Sitting inside recording a podcast.
About? Human tornado.
Okay, cool. I don't know why, and I don't know if it's okay to say, it's probably not okay to say, but in my brain has converted the name of this film to, I don't even know, what is it called?
You said Brown Dynamite.
Brown Dynamite.
I think because I told you about a movie called Black Dynamite.
Okay.
And it's the character's called Dolomite. Black Dynamite. It's like a spoof movie starring Michael J. White. They're spoofing that.
Spoofing that.
Yeah,
wow.
Spoofing the human tornado. It's like a parody of that.
Surely this is a parody of this.
Well, kind of, because it is also trying to be comical.
Right.
But they really, you know, lean into the low budgetness of it. There's lots of things where, like, in Black Dynamite, when they go around and they're just afros hitting the microphone and things like that. So, Human Tornado.
Human Tornado.
1970-something.
Okay.
I don't have facts.
I thought you'd be a fact machine on this one. I thought there'd be like loads of kind of behind the scenes or...
I know a little, but it's kind of disappointing actually in that way.
Yeah?
I mean, I just... Not this movie specifically, but like the whole Dolomite character I know a lot about. It was really hard to pick this one because there's a really funny one called P.D. Wheatstraw where he tricks the devil...
Okay.
Into giving him his powers. And then what plays out is pretty much what plays out in the Jim Carrey movie where he has got God powers and he just does that and he just goes around the neighborhood and he's like, there's a fat lady, pew! And she's skinny now because he doesn't like fat people, as we learn in this movie. But anyway, I'm rambling.
Yeah.
We're here today because you're lost.
Yeah.
Just like to remind you. And I picked Human Tornado. It's a 1970s blaxploitation film. It's a genre name, meaning it stars and made by black people.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. You probably can't get more independent than that. And I thought this, before you get into your one-sentence review and your takedown of this movie, I was thinking about this, like, this is kind of the last piece of the puzzle to me in terms of what kind of bad movies I like. Because we watched B-movies that are technically flawed and it's funny. We watched like a project, like a Neil Breen kind of movie. It's like, I'm the best, so I'm going to make a movie where I'm the best. I'm mostly talking about Partners, Fateful Findings, and Samurai Cup.
Yeah.
And this is the fourth one. And I think this is very different. It is bad, and it is a B-movie. What I would really call it is outsider art.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Because this is better than all of those, because just the effort put into it. Like, for example, Samurai Cop, Partners, Fateful Finding is like, just pick up a camera and shoot, whatever. In this one, there's creative shots. It's nothing crazy. It's like, it goes around like a room full of people, and then it goes on the mirror and zooms in the mirror, and that's when Dolomite comes in, you know. It's like things like that. It's like, you know, it's something that all these other three creators didn't think about. Just little, you know, dynamic, spice it up kind of things. And the creative vision, as flawed as it may be, it is carried out. It's carried out. It's a visionary film from an outsider artist.
It's definitely unique.
If you don't know what outsider art means, it means like person who's not technically trained in art, making art, basically. That's the loose definition.
Like us.
Like us, yeah.
This podcast is outside of us.
So, Rick, after that big rambling introduction.
Yeah.
What is
Catch
it?
Your breath. You sound like you're out of breath with it.
I love this movie. Why is it one sentence?
Why is my one sentence review? Well, congratulations. You've made the list. New number three film that I just did not like at all to the freaking worst bomb. It's now number three. It goes Suspiria, Catwoman, Brown Dynamite.
Okay.
Human Tornado.
Yeah.
Although you're right, you know, I'll concede that, you know, some effort has been put into this. It's just not good. Like, in, it's not, for me, it's not fun to watch. I don't really, you know, understand like the motivations of anyone for the most part.
That's what the fun is. Fans are trying to figure out what the fuck everyone's, you
know,
trying
it's,
to do.
It's really poorly acted. And I'm going to say something that, like, you know, might get me a lot of hate, but the main character does not know what he's doing.
No.
Half the time, his facial expression doesn't match what he's doing or saying or anything. And if he's not talking, he is literally just staring off into middle distance with a weird smile on his face, like some stroke victim who's been put in the corner. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, at least Partners or Samurai Cop have like the leading person who's like, they're playing it big and they're trying and they're putting in all the effort. This guy just kind of just got wheeled out, and there you go.
That
say
was,
some things.
That was weird rewatching this, because that's how I remembered it as well.
Okay.
I remembered the Black Dynamite version, which is like, he's the best at everything, and mm-hmm. he's the most awesome, you know, this exaggerated person. It's really not that.
No, he's not.
Which I thought it was going to be. but I should have remembered it's going to be.
I would have preferred that.
Yeah.
Because that, at least that's something entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, it's something to be like, haha, yeah, he's trying and he's rubbish.
Yeah.
There's other bits I really don't like in it at all. Like white people using the N-word over and over and over again. It just makes my skin crawl. And I know it's for a point.
Yeah.
I know it has to be there because of the story and the plot. And they are telling a version of, like, life,
yeah.
if you say, and it's especially in the 70s, I'm sure there's a lot to kind of shine a light on and try and expose, but it just makes my skin crawl.
Yeah,
it just makes my skin crawl every single time.
It was weird seeing white stereotypes. Have you ever seen white stereotypes other than what's in the White House right now? Have you ever seen white stereotypes in a movie, like played up, you know?
Only like farmers in like straw hats that are like, meh.
Yeah, but this was like sheriffs and things.
Yeah, yeah,
people of power.
Yeah,
it was interesting to watch.
Yeah, and there was just no redeeming qualities, really.
Well, let's get into it.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of redeeming qualities, like how they handwritten the credits.
The credits, just cool graffiti titles.
Yeah. And then what's funny is later on, they go to like 100 different bars and stuff. And then you can see the same type of handwriting on one of the bars. Really? It's like they had the guy who done the credits write a sign. It's really fun. Let's transport you, listener, back to the 70s. There was disco.
Mm-hmm.
Dig it. I just love, I love everything.
Is your goal to be, during this blaxploitation film, mm-hmm. is your goal to just be as white as possible?
Yes. I'm playing one of the white stereotypes.
Dig it.
I don't know, I love it. A lot. The only thing they haven't said in the movie, maybe it was outdated by then, it was Jive Turkey. I was like, there was not one Jive Turkeys in this, you know? I thought there was going to be 100 different Jive Turkeys. This Jive Turkey, that Jive Turkey, no Jive Turkeys.
Is it something people actually said?
I don't know. If they said dig it for every sentence, might as well. What was shocking in this movie is that I'm really not like a stylistic fashion person.
Mm-hmm.
But the ugliest clothes I've ever seen were featured during this film. I wrote down some of them. Okay, there's one where they go into a bar and then a performer is wearing a leotard that's also a onesie with a silver necklace.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. There's one where the main lady who runs the bar, she's wearing like a, almost like a 70s discarded old Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah.
With like tinsels. They look like, you know, itchy and stuff. There's jeans on jeans.
Double denim. People double denim.
Yeah, we're going to talk about double denim lady. She's one of the more confusing bits for me. There's one where I just wrote down glamorous clown suit.
See, you're saying this like it's a bad thing, but it's just coming across as jealousy. Like, you really want to be wearing these things, you know? You really wish you had a closet of all of these things. This isn't a list of bad stuff. This is like your dream journal.
I mean, I did love it in a certain way. Part of the fun thing in this movie is just writing down all the 70s things. It's just raw. It's just, there's nothing movie about it, you know? It's just how people dressed terribly.
It just took off people off the street.
Sometimes, yeah. It looked like that.
There's no way. There's no way people actually dress like that. On a daily basis. You might go out with something like that, but you would
if
never
you're a performer,
walk down
maybe.
The street. Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. Like a leotard. Onesie.
Just walking down the street. Sitting in a cafe getting lunch in your full tinsel outfit.
I'd like to think that happened. I like to live in a universe where that happened. The movie starts after the credits. Is Rudy Ramo, who plays Dolomite and the main character, he does some comedy.
So you missed a step with that one, because before that, there's like an intro and it kind of like films people laughing and it's weirdly sped up.
Yeah.
It looks like a horror film. It genuinely looks like how you would shoot a horror film.
Yeah.
It's people like moving really out of time and they've got like weird expressions on their face because it's sped up and it's pretty terrifying.
There's loads of times where it's sped up. And only at the end of that sequence, I got what they were trying to do. Because it was very awkwardly edited.
Mm-hmm.
Very jarring edits. Like,
he
makes a joke and then very hard cut.
Mm-hmm.
Audience clearly laughing at completely different thing.
Yep.
Or
sped up.
In the middle of his joke,
mm-hmm.
cut to him in a different suit finishing the joke.
Yep.
Things like that. And then only at the end, I wrote down like, oh, they're trying to show he's successful.
Okay.
I think that was it. I think it was supposed to be like a success montage. Or he's a successful comedian.
Yeah. It's supposed to be like, it's supposed to show you that he's like the in-house comedian.
Yeah.
He's not just there one day. That he's someone that people go see specifically.
Would you?
No, God no. God no. But I will say this. It's a cool little like layout. I would go to a comedy show where you're just sitting around on like tables, everyone's on the same level, getting served drinks, that kind of thing. It was cool, you know?
Yeah, but then people come up to you and say you're fat, and then everyone laughs.
It wasn't funny.
It
just wasn't funny.
Yeah.
Like, he literally just went over like, hey, yo, you're a fat fucker, aren't you?
Yeah.
That was about it.
I know. But to me, what was funny is like how blunt it was.
Yeah.
It's just like, just no filters.
You're so ugly.
Yeah.
Bye.
Clap, 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 clap. Woo!
Honestly, so I wrote down, it's like watching Frankie Boyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know Frankie Boyle?
Yeah.
I tried to watch one of his like comedy specials and he literally just walks up to the audience and he's like, you're ugly, you're a piece of shit, I fucking hate you.
Yeah.
I'm doing a weird accent. It's supposed to be Scottish. It came off of like Liverpudlian or from Newcastle or something. But it's the same. He just goes and he abuses the audience and it was rubbish. And I was, 5 minutes in, I was like, nope.
But comedy is not only fat jokes and micro penis jokes and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's also rhyming.
Yeah, is it? It's also rhyming and it's also weird dancing.
Weird dancing, yeah.
Yeah, the dancing was creepy, man. Like, I don't know if it was meant to be sexy or what. All of it. Because his entire comedy show is intercut with that woman dancing. But she's like doing the crab. and she's like sliding across the floor like just on her butt.
Yeah.
Like a dog.
Yeah. Does that just happen while he's saying jokes?
I don't know. It's the least sexy dancing I've ever
seen. It's trying to be, though. It's trying to be sexy.
I think so,
but
yeah.
It kind of goes one step further to ridiculous territory.
It goes like four steps beyond that. It's honestly, it's so weird. Like watching some interpretive dance nonsense.
Yeah. I think the 70s were lots of this like variety show nonsense. Which is like, oh, people came here to be entertained, so we'll do jokes, we'll do dancing, you know. It's just like kind of all at once kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to see a good example of that, watch the Star Wars Holiday Special. That's just that. Just throw it in your face like, yeah, we got dancing, we got nerd stuff, we got Starfire, we got animated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's all that. We got a cooking show. We should watch it one day.
Yeah, we should. I've never seen it.
It's a drag. What do you think about Dolomite getting paid for sex by a hot woman?
Yeah, that came out of nowhere. Didn't have a reason.
Also, he's telling everyone that they're fat. He's a bit chubby as well, which they do say later on.
Do they?
Yeah, later on, like second half of the film, when he meets with that woman and there's a sex fake out, they undress and then start exercising.
Remember that?
Before there's like, oh, I see you're pulling some pounds.
Yes, yeah. There is. Yeah.
So he's a big hypocrite. Dolomite is successful. He has this party where he's like giving away
his house to the boys' home, and he has no emotion about it whatsoever.
Well, he's shouting because that's what he does. He just shouts everything. And I came here for the boys.
He doesn't say that.
Whatever he says, I was just trying to rhyme. and I leave with some toys or something. He always rhymes. And then, like, sheriffs turn up and they want to shoot them up because...
They don't like that they're having a party.
But like, what's not realistic is that he has a house there. I know he's giving it away, so maybe that's a thing. But, like, he escapes and he just never returns, so he just leaves it.
I mean, you're trying to find logic in a plot that makes absolutely no sense. Because they go on the run.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing I found about the kind of the whole, you know, they run from the house. Didn't they kill someone? Oh, no.
They kidnap someone.
No, the guy kills the wife.
Oh, yes.
One of the sheriff's friends kills the wife and they blame it on them. And like, okay, you know, the good guy. And then they go carjack someone. Like, you try to portray yourself as the good guy and you're like, you know, you're under the rule of these racist white people and all that kind of stuff. But then you go carjack someone and kidnap them.
Well, with the caveat of... They could have kicked him out, and then they just awkwardly threw them sitting in like a two-seat. They don't do the most horrible things.
I think that's worse.
Do you think?
Yeah.
So, the guy wanted to go to California.
Well, he always wanted to go to California, but he didn't have the guts to.
There you go.
But
he was positive.
Yeah, by chance. Anyway, yeah, I think that's worse. Mm-hmm. Like, if I got a bunch of people, because I think one of them has a gun, right?
Yeah.
Pretty sure one of them has. If I get, like, carjacked with a gun... The last thing I want to do is stay in the car with that person.
He didn't mind.
He didn't mind, mate. He was poorly written, so he didn't mind.
Yeah. There's a big, whoa, crazy moment when he escapes. He jumps off from the hill.
He does a weird replay.
He says, "Don't you believe I did this for real?" You don't quite see what he's jumping into.
Yeah.
It could be like, just below frame, there could be like a mattress there.
Definitely is.
It definitely is. But like, bitch, you don't think I really jumped? And it replays that like little, I don't know, 1 second of 24 frames of him jumping 1 meter. It's like,
Well, he's not a young guy. That's pretty, you know, impressive.
Mm-hmm.
He would drop like 1 or 2 meters and then crash into, even if it is like a mattress.
Yeah.
You know, it's still pretty.
And he did roll around naked on the hill as well. That's the comedy.
Yeah. Hilarious stuff.
It was.
I will say, I will give this film some credit in that there are moments in it that are, like, genuinely funny.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Give me some.
Oh, I don't know. But I think there was definitely a couple of moments while I was watching this film that are, like, I had a little argument inside my brain. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, well, one side of my brain was like, come on, that's pretty funny. And the other half was like, no, it's shit, fuck off. And my brother was like, come on, give it credit, come on.
I think his delivery is always funny. I love how he delivers lines. Like, the famous one in this movie is when he's sleeping with the girl and the girl rats him out. And he goes, bitch, are you for real? I don't know, it's just his big, shouty, rhymey delivery is really funny.
Dolomite is my name and fucking up motherfuckers is my game.
There's that bit where he sleeps with the bad guy's wife through hijinks. Crazy, weird hijinks. And then he fucks her so hard that the whole room starts collapsing, including the ceiling. I thought that's pretty funny.
I thought it was pretty funny, the fact that it caught fire.
Mm-hmm.
And that was genuine fire. It was like, that was not meant to happen.
Yeah.
That looked really... I mean, my favourite part about it is they didn't stop.
No.
They didn't, but there's a fire. Let's just do the scene again. They clearly had the whole room set up to have that one take, and that was it. Let's talk about some musical intermissions. Why did this film have random musical intermissions for no good reason?
That's the variety show aspect of the 70s. Everything had to have music. Everything had to have like a song or one or two, you know, dancing and comedy. Everything wanted to be like the full package, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And story, fuck that, you know. Whatever.
Well, who needs a story? Who needs a plot and actors?
Do you think they actually went to like 100 different clubs, or do you think they just redressed?
It's definitely the same room.
Yeah.
100% it's the same
room. They did use creative angles to make it look different.
I don't think so. I think it was very obvious. I mean, they just shot it from the left of the stage like every single time. His comedy club was there, her bar was there, and the bad guy's bar was there.
And then all the 100 different bars they visit
along
the way was there. That was a funny bit, and I'm not sure if that was intentional. When they go to like different bars, it's like, hey man, give me some information. And they pass the guy some money. It's like, oh, he's over there. And he has that feeling where he would have told them anyway.
Yeah.
Or they would have found him anyway. It happens twice.
Yeah, yeah, they go up to, like, it's like a friend of theirs as well. That he probably would have just gone, yeah, it's over there, man. Don't worry about that. Here's some information for free. But you know, every day, like you say, he slips him some money.
Yeah, it's there. Oh, okay. Wait, give me back my money. I should have been lined up.
Are you ready for another segment of Make Sense of My Notes?
Yeah, I've got a few of those.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so this edition of Make Sense of My Notes, one of my notes says, crazy woman, get the boobs. What the fuck?
No woman was really crazy, was there?
Yeah, there was a crazy woman. Ooh. Yes, I know it. I know it now, what we're talking about. It's the two women that get kidnapped, and there's a crazy woman.
There's a witch. There's a proper witch in the basement. There's a witch in this kung fu movie.
It doesn't make any sense. She doesn't do anything.
No.
She's just like, oh yeah, you don't want to be down there with the crazy woman.
She's like,
yeah, for no reason.
Yeah.
She just, it's all built up like, oh yeah, you don't want to mess with her. She's crazy. But she doesn't do anything.
But she's crazy.
She is crazy. I can tell you that. But yeah, she looks after the kidnapped girls. Mm-hmm. Who, I mean, you know, we've all had fun here.
Yeah.
But there's nothing funny about, like, what happens to those girls either.
I mean, the only funny thing is, like, the torture sets. made out of cardboard was pretty humorous, but yeah, that was a bit touchy-feely.
Yeah.
What was, like, annoying, and this is where the double denim girl comes in.
Yes, the Kung Fu Double Denim Girl.
Kung Fu Double Denim Girl, which is the title of this episode now. She's, like, bigger than all the men around her. She could bust out like the Hulk, you know? She was so big. And she had a six-pack. You could see it.
Yeah, this, again, they probably just used the budget for someone who just went to the, like, local dojos or the local kickboxing places and was like, you, do you want to be in a film?
And then she kicked some ass, but only when Dolomite frees her. But she could have done that before when she was getting kidnapped.
Yeah, true.
She could beat me.
If you're into that.
I wish. But yeah, that was confusing. Because there's like, yeah, when Dolomite comes in, and Dolomite is like two heads shorter than that lady. I was like, I come to rescue you.
Denim smash.
Denim smash. Double denim power. And even all the little henchmen that come up, like little fucking kids or whatever.
Yeah, just slap them out.
Slap them out, kicks them over, holds their head while they're trying to get her. It's just not very consistent. One of my notes is, you know what that's referencing?
No, I don't. I kind of
you will.
Do. I think I had it roughly written down at the same thing.
You will. It's BRBRBRBRBR.
Oh, is that the weird noises he makes while fighting?
Yeah. I think that was meant to be comedy.
I don't know.
I love the plot progression is everyone telling them it's a house on a hill in Pasadena.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the big information. I mean, I don't know much about California and what it looks like, but isn't Pasadena is like a whole region or something?
Yeah.
It's on a hill. It's on a house.
Yeah, it's a house on, it's the house on the top of the hill in Finchley.
Yeah. In Warwickshire, there's a house on a hill. That's where the bad guy lives. And they're always satisfied with the answer. And they get the same answer every time. Why don't they just go there immediately?
Because it's badly written.
Written? It's badly improvised.
Do you know my favourite part about the plot?
Okay.
It was when... So, the plot... Because we haven't really explained what's going on at the minute. Because you're not going to watch this film, listeners.
And the movie also doesn't explain what's going on.
No, it doesn't.
Really. You just kind of piece it together intuitively.
So, yeah, he's run away from the sheriff. And he's gone to California. But he's got to California and his friend Queen Bee has got beaten up because she's got a rival bar to the white guy.
Yes.
So he turns up and his friend's been, like, beaten up. The girls, like, the work for her have been kidnapped and, like, locked in a basement. The bar gets shut up. And then he just goes fuck some random woman. Like, that's when the exercising thing happens. He's just like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. It's cool. Just going to go over here now. Bye. Yeah.
I wonder if that was, like, almost edited in the wrong place or something.
Yeah, it definitely feels like it was.
Because, yeah, it's supposed to, like, okay, we got the guy, we got the location, we got the plan. And that's where it should, like, start rolling into that, start picking up speed to resolve the plot. But no, it just he undresses with a woman, and then they start naked exercising, and then they are like, oh, this is bullshit, and they start having sex.
Yeah.
So it's a fake out that turns into another fake out.
And that's not one of the funny ones either. That's not the one at the start with the plot.
No.
With the woman who gets shot. And it's not the funny one where he fucks the girl into destroying the room. It's just there.
It's just there.
For no reason.
Because he's hot. Who doesn't want some Rudy Ray Moore?
It doesn't explain how the sheriff finds him in any way, shape or form.
Kind of.
Yeah?
Yeah, because the sheriff goes to, well...
The sheriff just rocks up in California.
Well, that's the part he wouldn't know. But
is the thinnest of explanations. I respect it because you've come up with that.
He said
it's told from his perspective, and he doesn't know how the sheriff found him, so therefore it's not in the film. But
he says something. The sheriff impressive. Says something like, "I had a feeling he's coming to California. That's the only explanation."
Mm-hmm.
But within California, he does find him through the police.
Yeah,
yeah. So there's that. You know what was actually scary? We are jumping so back and forth, but. That's what this movie kind of is anyway, so whatever. During the torture scene, you know, two girls, mm-hmm. one is... But, you know, it's like such a childish idea of a torture of like hanging like a board of knives.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even notice that until like the halfway through the fourth scene.
Only noticed that because that thing was swinging and then you could see like the knives... like flinging. They were made out of some cheap plastic or whatever.
Paper.
Yeah, paper.
Just billowing in the wind.
Pretty much. They looked so bad. But like, that's like such a childish idea of torturing someone. Because mm-hmm. that you only do that once. You just kill a person. If a whole board of knives fall on you, you just die. Because it's not torture. It's just death. So I think the only thing I can imagine is like a Looney Tunes kind of escape of Bugs Bunny comes out with the holes. Or something. The one that was genuinely scary was like, oh, this is a cool idea for like a movie torture scene.
Okay.
The other girl who was hung up kind of like Jesus. Not arms straight, but like arms back.
Yeah, she was above her head.
She was tied up vertically.
Yeah.
They put like a live grenade in between her knees. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh shit, that's actually tense. isn't it? Like,
yeah, it's pretty,
just
yeah.
imagine that. I was like, fuck, you have to hold that for ages.
And I love that they don't really do much about it. They just kind of like throw it away.
Yeah.
Should we talk? Here we go. I got BLBLBLBL noises.
It's weird. Again, the mix of what he perceives as comedy and like kung fu action, you know? Because he wants to be like look cool, but he also wants comedy. Before he punches, it goes.
I didn't even get a comedy element from it. I thought he was just kind of like. You know, this is our own kind of martial arts kind of vibe.
I think it was supposed to be a joke on the variation of what Bruce Lee does.
Okay.
You know, like, wah! Like that.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think it was meant to be funny. I think it's like, this is our variation of that.
That's definitely meant to be funny.
It's really hard to tell in this film. It really is, like, hard to tell what's meant to be funny and what's just poorly done.
Yeah, that's the magic of this film. Let's talk about the best scene in the movie, which we alluded to before, but just the setup of this is just the most confusing thing ever.
Go on.
So, I don't even know what he wants, but Dolomite rocks up to the Hills house on the Pasadena.
Yep.
Dressed as a salesman with like an African, I think, accent.
Okay.
I think. And the wife of the bad guy opens the door. And, oh, he's like, oh, I'm here to sell. I'm not going to do the accent.
Good. That was a good choice.
The guy's like, oh, I'm here to sell some paintings for you. Wait.
Yeah.
That's how he tries to get in. That's his master plan, to sell some paintings to a woman. And then he opens the painting, and the painting is like a sex scene. A sex...
Yeah, it's like...
Isn't it two guys?
No, it's a... guy and a woman, and they're just kind of intertwined.
Intertwined and muscular, so sort of good looking and everything. And what follows is one of the most confusing scenes I've ever seen in any movie. It's like this like beats like David Lynch, Alejandro Jodorowsky, you know.
I do have a note in here. It's like, what is going on? This is some weird David Lynch shit.
That's that. I think that's what happens. Because, I think what happens is we go into the mind of the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then she starts touching herself, imagining a sex scene, I guess.
Yep.
But then what happens is I just can't believe this is actually, it was on film. She's on like this play room. She's in this
play room. Yeah, it's like a weird toy box.
It's a toy box where muscular men are standing around with clown makeup.
Yep. And they keep coming out of this toy box.
They keep coming out of toy box or standing around in like big boxes that says toys or sliding down
a slide
into the camera, like really uncomfortably close. You could see on their face they don't want to do this.
Well, that's the weirdest bit about it, because they look so awkward.
Yeah.
They look like, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, they genuinely look like they were just walking down the street and someone was like, hey, do you want to make $50? And they're like, yeah, sure, why not? Then they went into this room and they're all of a sudden they're in clown makeup and they're half naked climbing out of a toy box.
Yeah, they didn't look comfortable.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's the most uncomfortable I've ever seen anybody on film.
So I guess it's trying to communicate that. I think it's doing a lot at the same time. Maybe that's why it's falling apart. Because, so I think what's happening, and I think what the joke is that this woman had never been with a black man before.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it.
Okay.
Of the core of it, really. And it's like, oh, you don't know what pleasure feels like, you know. But then, yeah, so she imagines these boy toys, I guess.
Okay.
That was the idea. But then the clown makeup. And then the slide.
Well, the slide was because she was at the bottom of the slide with her legs open.
Oh, yeah, true.
So they were sliding into her.
Yeah. And then cut to the big famous room trashing scene where they have sex so hard that it looks like a 10 on the Richter scale earthquake. The ceiling comes off, it starts on fire.
Yeah, it's average, you know. It's, you know, it's how you get down, isn't it? Like, that's...
Wow. Including the clown makeup.
Exactly, yeah. You can't, if you don't have the clown makeup, then it's just not worth it.
It's not pleasurable. Once you go clown, you never go down. David Lynch would be proud.
He would. He would.
It's so weird.
There was one person in this film that was very talented. It wasn't Double Denim.
I thought she was.
Okay.
In Kung Fu.
Yeah.
She's more believable doing Kung Fu than anyone else, really.
Yeah.
Including that guy who they just introduced very late in the movie, who just another Afro mustache guy. He's like, this is my cousin. He knows Kung Fu.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just, they literally just answer the door and he's there.
Yeah.
No, it was the nunchuck guy.
Oh.
That guy was good at nunchucking.
Yeah. Mostly naked.
Yeah, he didn't have a shirt on for some weird reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was doing the whole nunchuck thing.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say a different thing.
Yeah?
I thought you were going to say Ernie Hudson, who's in this movie somewhere.
Ernie Hudson is in this movie. Or is it his brother? We never did figure it out. I think his name's Ernie Hudson, but he's got a brother. I can't remember his name, but it was like Will Hudson or something.
Lou, I think it was Lou.
Lou, okay, Lou so Hudson.
I think what might have happened, and I didn't look into this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe his name is Ernie Lou Hudson or something like
that.
No,
it's not.
No?
No, his brother's called like Lou Hudson.
Okay.
So we were trying to figure out whether it was his brother or whether he was so embarrassed by this film. They asked him his name and he was like, I'm going to put my brother's name down. I'm going to teach you, little fucker.
That would be funny. Someone should ask Ernie Hudson. I can't believe there's still a person alive who was in this movie. It's so old. Rudy Ramos is definitely not alive.
Oh.
I love him to narrate some sort of erotic novel that I can listen to. Well, anyway! And he rhymes it.
So the film ends.
Yeah. With awkward kung fu.
Yeah, awkward kung fu. The sheriff dies, am I right in saying?
No. Which is very disappointing. The sheriff chases Dolomite.
Yes.
And then he shoots him.
The sheriff shoots Dolomite in the back. But it's okay, because his small vest is lined with tin foil.
Yeah.
So he's like,
and that's how it ends.
And that's how it ends.
But it was kind of disappointing.
Mm.
He should have fucking shot the sheriff in the face.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I recommend watching Black Dynamite.
I recommend burning it.
Black Dynamite?
Yeah. Well, Black Dynamite. Yeah. Oh, sorry. We're talking about a different film.
Yeah.
Human Tornado.
I don't recommend people watching this movie.
No?
No. I recommend people watch Black Dynamite and you pretty much get like on an even more heightened level.
I think I'd prefer that.
Yeah. You think you'd like that. It's like,
I wouldn't go that far.
It's Michael J. White. It's really funny. It's recent, somewhat, last 10 years.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's that time of the night.
Oh, yes, because this was a bonus episode. Welcome, by the way. I don't know if this is the first bonus episode that you may have listened to for free. No, it's not.
It's the quizzes.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, the quizzes. Hope you enjoyed them.
Yeah.
Well, this is the first bonus episode about a film.
Yes, and we're going to continue that. But you got to rate your film.
Rate this film?
Yeah.
2.
Okay. Wow. I thought you were going to say 1. Or is that too special?
So. Yeah, well, yeah. I think I'll probably adopt the same with the top tier. You know, there's one film that's an 11.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's one film that's a 1. Or it could be one film that's a 0.
Suspiria.
Yeah. Either way, it's Suspiria.
Yeah. It's a Suspiria level. It has its own dimension. I rate it a 5. I think it's funny.
Okay.
And I think it's like an interesting look. It's like an unfiltered look into the 70s.
Oh, God, no.
Totally.
Definitely not.
What do you mean?
It's definitely a massively exaggerated version of the 70s.
It's not like Godfather was made in the 70s and it's all slick and made up and, you know, it's like very well manufactured film. But this is like what a club looked like and what entertainment looked like to people, you know? It's like in that way, you know, and fashion, if you want to call that. It's interesting.
Okay.
And I love Rudy Ramo, bless his soul. So what are we doing next?
What are we doing next? Well, so for those that don't know, we do have a Patreon still. So
yes, we still have it.
We still have a Patreon, which for about £1.20 or a pound plus taxes, you can support us. And it would be awesome if you could.
Yeah.
We don't do this for the £4 a month that we get.
But six.
We don't do this for the £6 a month we get, but it's very much appreciated. And we appreciate everybody out there who contributes. But what you also can do is recommend us films. So again, if you don't know, we have a blackball system. We get films that we recommend to each other. And if Dan was to recommend Human Tornado to me, I'd be like, absolutely not. But you can recommend us a film and we just have to watch it eventually. So it goes in our blind bag of doom. We pick one at random. We have it in front of us now. It's very professional.
it's a punch card plastic bag.
So, yeah, so hopefully that will incentivize you to join and support us, and we'd love to have you on board.
Also, you get early episodes almost 2 weeks in advance.
Exactly.
Unless something goes wrong, like this week. So, blind bag of doom time.
Blind bag of boom.
It's been added. It's been growing.
Blind bag of
boom. Yeah, it's been growing since last time, because we haven't touched this in a while. What's the last episode we did? Was it Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
Killer Clowns from Outer Space was one, yeah.
So in that way, if we pick something from Roger, which has 2 more in it, then it can't be that.
Yep. Oh, that was... Yeah, sorry, that is another thing as well that I don't think we ever made clear, that you can recommend more than one film.
Yeah, because we needed to fill it in. We needed to fill the bag, otherwise it'd be embarrassing. It'd be just 6 movies and we would have watched them already.
So Dan knows all of these films because he created the bag. I only know one film that's in there.
It's a real smorgasbord of terrible, watchable, but boring looking.
Okay.
Anyway, we might be surprised. Or really good.
Really?
Yeah, there's a few really, really good ones.
Is it really good for you? Really good for me? Look at his face. I wish everybody could have seen your face then.
You decide, audience. Shaky, shaky.
Shaky, shaky. Right, and we are watching... Right, so it's Adam's recommendation.
Okay.
And it's Bergman Island? Bergman Island?
Okay.
What is that?
I don't know.
Well, thank you, Adam, for contributing. Despite what Dan says, it is always appreciated.
There's more in there that I would love to see. I can't wait to get to.
Should we do like a blind bag of doom run?
No, I think we space it out.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, you think so?
Well,
what about the random movies? Random movies are fun as well.
Random movies.
Bingo movies.
Bingo movies, yeah.
That's fun as well.
Yeah, I do like bingo movies.
Space it out with that and a few like editorials, like how we did before.
Mm-hmm.
Quizzes sometimes. Not for a while, let me just enjoy my win.
Should have a trophy made.
Mm.
Let's get a trophy made.
With the face of Rudy Ramo shouting. This trophy is for winning, but I'm not here for any... Skimming.
Sinning.
Sinning. There you go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Dynamite! Oh, what's happening, baby?
What it is, big ol'.
To what do we owe this pleasure?
I just got one thing to lay on you cats, and I'll split. That I'm declaring war on anybody who sells drugs in our community.
But Black Dynamite, I sell drugs to the community.